This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
Welcome back to Meditation Mindset. Time spent alone is the most important...
Sergey, are you still in the bath?
Yes, I'm listening to my podcast.
Can I come in?
No! Oh!
Just need to grab the claw clippers. Don't worry, I'll cover my eyes.
What?
Whoa!
Carl, I'm gonna fall.
Whoa! I'm still not looking.
And I'm not listening to my podcast.
Don't wombat it, meerkat it.
Simples,
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
Everybody, and happy Thanksgiving, Nash. It is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023, and I'm Joe O'Brien.
And I couldn't hear the music in the Discord, so I didn't know the show was starting. I'm Troy! And I poured myself a coffee to have during the show, and then we bullshit for 20 minutes before we start recording, and now the coffee is gone.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Seconds before I went live with the open, I reached over and picked up a completely empty water glass. I didn't realize that I had totally emptied it. So I've got no water. You've got no coffee. But we're professionals, LaValley.
You know what? Let's just do a quick 10-minute FOD, and then we'll move on with our life.
A tight 10. We'll do our tight 10 version of the FOD, and we'll get out of here quick. Actually, it will be a short episode this week. It's Thanksgiving week. It's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, Nash. There's not much in the realm of news. We'll talk about a couple things. And then we'll just dig into episode 10 of Campaign 2. And we'll talk about that for a little bit with some We Are Stupid and, of course, listener mail. I got a couple questions from you guys because you guys are the best. So starting it off, kicking it off at the top with just quick news bites. Black Friday, we're doing a sale.
Oh,
people should know this. People should know this Friday... when the Black Friday hits at midnight, right? Thursday at midnight going into Friday.
You know, if they got people working, they'll start it up at midnight. But pretty much sometime Friday. Visit the store. You know, you'll see it on social media if you follow social media. Otherwise, just go to glasscannonnetwork.com/store. And we've got items as high as 85% off. Everything must go.
Everything must go.
Yeah, but everything in the store is discounted by some way. And so, you know, we
Wait. No, that can't be true.
Dude, every single item in the store.
Are you telling me that there is a discount on the Glass Cannon Podcast Campaign 2 Ugly Christmas Sweater? You can't. That's brand new.
Discount it.
Discount
it. You know, the newer stuff has a lower discount than the stuff that's been sitting there forever.
1% off.
Yeah, 1%. No, I think the lowest is like 10% off or something. Yeah, so like literally everything in the sale, the store is on sale. You know, it's a great time to grab something if you've been like, oh man, I want to get that. I'll wait till it goes on sale. We end up selling out of a lot of our older merch because, like I said, some of it's going to be 85% off. You can get a t-shirt for $3 or $4. You know, we've got a couple like ladies' tees that have been sitting around forever in one old shirt. But get rid of that shit for us. Otherwise, we're just going to use it to wash our car. You know, but it really helps us out at the end of the year, and that's going to run all the way through Cyber Monday.
Awesome. So all weekend long, head over to glasscannonnetwork.com/store for up to 85% off. Very exciting. In other news, there was a big release last week that we didn't talk about on Fodder as it was coming up. At least I don't believe we did. Sometimes when we do Fodder, I just black out and I forget what we talked about. But did we discuss that Dungeons & Dragons Adventures launched, including Faster Purple Worm Kill Kill? It is. It's up and running.
We did not talk about this. You know, I got a nice invite to the party, and out in LA, they did a big release party. They sent me an invite because I host one of the episodes of Faster Purple Realm. I'm on another one, and so I texted Lillard. I was like, "Dude, should I fly out for this? Because I will." But
what? I said, you were going to fly out there for that nonsense?
I said, I can move mountains if you think this is worth me being at. And he's like, dude, don't worry about it. I would let you know. I was like, thank you. But then I look at the pictures. I'm like, that looked like a really good time. I should have went just to hobnob. But yeah, they've launched this D&D Adventures channel. There's like a cooking show. And obviously the one we're most excited about is Faster Purple Worm Kill Kill. You're on an episode.
I'm on an episode, I believe. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to get information on this. I guess you could just text Lillard, but like, I think our episode that you ran is episode 8. Does that sound right to you?
I can't remember if it's 8 or 10 because I'm on one. I'm on one with like Kate Micucci and a couple other actresses. And then I host one with you. I don't know. Are we supposed to say? Yeah, because we've shown the clips. It's the players are you, Mary Lou, Jared, and Alicia Marie. I can't remember what episode it is, but I'm sure if you follow their social media, Beal and Grimm's social media, I think they're going to like every week say, hey, this is this week's episode.
Yeah, follow Beal and Grimm's on social media for any updates there to see if you can catch it. Now, only I think one episode or maybe two have released. So we're still very, very early on. Keep an eye on it. And it is tricky. So this channel is on Freevee or Pex or something. I can't remember, but if you have Amazon, it's on Freevee and it's free to watch live TV. Now that's the tricky part. I may be getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's not on demand. You can't just go like find it and watch past episodes. You have to watch it live streaming, and it's on Thursdays at 9 o'clock Eastern and 9 o'clock Pacific. So yeah. It runs twice in a night. Basically,
we're not doing a good job of promoting it because
nobody is, dude. Nobody is. It's very hard to understand.
Yeah,
This
is a new thing. It's called a fast channel. You know, it's like they, rather than like selling this to NBC or HBO, you sell it to these fast channels. Channels that just kind of come up and then disappear. Or like you buy a Samsung TV and there's a bunch of apps there. And you're like, what the fuck is Freevee? Well, that's what one of these things are, is like a Roku channel. But just check out the Beetle and Grimm's social media. They're very very clear about how to find it, but it's pretty exciting. And if this channel is successful, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw your old buddies, the Glass Cannon Network, doing some stuff there in the future.
Doing some more stuff in the future.
We're gonna be on TV though. And my hair, honestly, you think my hair looks crazy now? I think it looks worse on the show because they had me all like, "Oh, let's fix your hair," and I'm like, I look like a weirdo. So yeah,
you do kind of look like.
Like a
you look
boy.
Like a Lego man.
I do look like a Lego man. Like everything
put
is very
a haircut onto you.
They were like, here, that's how it's supposed to look, right? And I was like, no. You know, they did the same thing for our headshot photos. They were like, all right, we had hair and makeup, and they did our headshots. And I was like, I took a couple pictures, and I was like, can I look at these? And like, that looks terrible. Hold on. Perfect. Let's take some more.
All right, let's get into it here. We'll get into the episode in a second. I've just got a few sidebar questions. First,
yes.
This is an honest question.
Oh, wait. Is my response going to make people angry? Because
no, not on this one.
Well, that's everything I say, but go ahead.
Do you like your hair?
Yeah, I like my hair.
Happy with what you got going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people that think I'm bald because I always wear a hat, which is so funny. I'm like, I think I have more hair than everyone else combined. But I don't like the upkeep of it. You know what I mean? Because like I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and so I can only go. And I'm also an extremist. So I put the hat on. I don't have to worry about it. I've been wearing a hat since I was like 12, baseball caps and stuff. And then you get older, you're like, wait, I have a job where I don't have to look good ever. I'm wearing jogging pants 90% of the time. But then when I want to do it, I've realized that I'm entering like the sort of Albert Einstein phase of my life, that I enjoy it much more crazy than like. You fix it. You know, I pay a lot for my haircuts, and then I put a hat on afterwards, and the woman that does my hair is like, what is wrong with you? She's like, I know how much this costs. I'm like, yeah, but I just like it grows out better when you have it professionally done. I don't know. I think now that I got these new headphones, you might be seeing a little more Troy's hair, because this looks kind of fun.
It does look kind of fun. Next question. Also a serious question. This one, I think, could make people angry.
Ooh. Dude, there are seven dudes that listen to this show and they're just like ready to pounce. Troy said something.
Here we go.
Ask me something.
Get ready to set them off. Here we go. This is an important time of year to think about this kind of stuff.
About giving instead of receiving?
Exactly. For once in your life.
What?
What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday?
What am I thankful for?
What are you
for?
Thankful?
I mean, I'm thankful for so many things. My mm-hmm. family, my children. I feel so blessed every day. I'm thankful that we get to do this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that my family is healthy. That's huge.
Huge.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You got anything fun? Anything fun you're thankful for? Family and a great working life are stupid and not fun. Everybody says that.
I didn't say a great working life. I just said I'm thankful that I get to do this for a living.
That is kind of true.
Got a way to go. Big difference. Kind of a pain in the ass. But it's better than slinging drinks. Anything fun that I'm thankful for?
Are you thankful for Baldur's Gate 3? Are you playing that at all? Like when you're not streaming? Like
I've never played it that hasn't been on stream.
So are you playing?
You know, I said this during the Extra Life stream. It's so funny when people watch our Faster Purple Worm Kill. Because it's coming out so far after Baldur's Gate, I guarantee you people will be like, oh, he just stole that from Baldur's Gate 3. And you haven't played Baldur's Gate 3, so you don't realize that like the whole storyline that I do in the Faster Purple Worm Kill is kind of like the crux problem of Baldur's Gate 3. And I didn't know what Baldur's Gate 3 was about. I just was like, I want to do something with this monster. And so I started researching those monsters and created a story based around that. But anyways, no, I'm not thankful. I'm thankful for Call of Duty. No, I don't know, man.
Now that is a fun one.
Yeah, I don't have any fun sports. I love sports.
How is Modern Warfare 3? How is it?
It's great. You know, I guess there were like there was this whole thing where they like forced people to work like 90-hour days to put this together. But I've been having a blast with it, and I think it's. So I appreciate everybody putting in that extra time. You know, I think they just kind of cobble these together year after year. It's kind of like Madden. There's no competition. So they're just like, there you go. And idiots like me, I'm like, yeah, but I have so much fun with it. Cause I just play, the multiplayer. I don't do Warzone. I don't do the campaign anymore. And I have a blast. And I think I said to you and McD during the Gloomhaven stream last week, like I was playing for 5 days. I'm still finding new maps and I play a lot. I'm like level 37 now.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's great. Am I thankful for it? No. I'm thankful for my family, my health, and you know,
wonderful, easy job you have.
Right, this really simple job. Where I'm thankful for the potential of the Glass Cannon Network.
That's the potential.
You know, even though we joke a lot about it, oh, job so hard, it's just because it is, but like we're very, very blessed to be able to do this. And I hope that I probably don't say that enough because we're always complaining, but you can't not be thankful about the fact that we get to play games for a living.
Even for sure.
It's only like half of what we do.
Also, you say we are always complaining. I mean, you're doing most of the complaining.
I just do it in public.
Right. I do it off air.
Yeah, I do. I like
to. Like a professional.
I give them the real thing and they can't handle it. I wish I had coffee right now.
No, I think they can handle it. They just don't like it.
Yeah, what are you thankful? Do I have to ask you now?
No, you don't have to ask me, but I was just going to say.
What are you thankful for, Joe? All the same things.
I was just, all the same things. Family. That I get to do this for a living. It is wonderful. It's great to be able to do this for a living. And there are a lot of really fun times. But like, it's just like anything that you do that is that you love and you put passion into, especially a small business kind of thing. It's just stressful. That's all. It's just stressful because you want to put out a lot. You want it to be great. And it's hard to make great stuff all the time. And it's just stressful. That's all.
It's not
the easy life, but I certainly would take it over just about anything else because you're always going to have stress, you know. It's just that it's stress, but you also get to do really fun things with your friends.
I was gonna say the goalposts keep moving, you know, like this landscape of new media, not to mention just actual play, which is you know, throw us in that category. We're certainly part of that. Like, it's constantly evolving and changing. We're not using traditional media. So I think a lot of the stress comes from having to constantly pivot and move and be ahead of changes and not just follow trends.
Right.
And I think we're getting a lot better at that. We're innovating more so than just following.
What are you thankful for, Naish? Let us know in the comments. In the YouTube comments, give us a little, let us know what you're thankful for this Thanksgiving. It's great to be able to do a fodder this week because there is no Glass Cannon podcast this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if people know that, but Thursday night, our traditional stream night for, not stream night, but premiere night for new episodes on YouTube is not happening this week. And there will be no episode dropping Friday. So this week is a week off for the Glass Cannon Network. We're here on fodder, of course, to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. But yeah, sadly, no new episode this week. It'll be episode 11 will air next Thursday.
It's a good one, too. I've edited 11, 12, 13, and just started 14 today. Like this stretch through the end of the year, into the beginning of next year, so hot. I mean, I liked the early stuff, but like now you're really getting into the deeper mystery and the deeper, like, what's going on. And I mean, holy shit, not only are we finding our groove and like really figuring out what this new show is, the story is picking up at the same time. So, you know, if you slept on the Glass Cannon podcast for any reason, this is a time to get back into it. It's, such good stuff coming up. Such good stuff.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it. And that's a great segue. Let's get into this week's episode, episode 10 of Campaign 2. Lots to discuss here.
What happened?
It's the one where we kind of open up with the with Lucky and not Talitha, Lucky and Zephyr going in the basket to go up and explore the top part. So you do some secret rolls here, perception checks, because you know, you dirty son of a bitch, that there's traps, that the floor is trapped the second you step out of this basket that they take up to the next level. And so you roll behind the screen. What I presume at all times is that you roll two natural 20s and then lie and say they didn't see anything. Your thoughts?
No, if anything, I'm rolling their perception against the stealth DC of the trap. So
that's what I'm saying.
I'm rolling natural ones.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they succeed, but you just lie about it and say they didn't to make a better show.
I roll. You've seen it from time to time. I think it happened. I want to make sure I'm not getting ahead, but I feel like it happened in a previous episode where I rolled, and I think I am getting ahead. But
okay.
I live and die by the dice. It makes my job so much easier.
Yeah.
And anyway, so
yeah, they don't see it at all.
They don't see it. They said, like, let's go. Oh,
you're like, you must have been so psyched.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Juiced.
It's great. And, you know, hats off to Kate, especially, who is like, listen, my character doesn't know that. I want to go explore the room. And she does and gets sliced by these jets, which for some reason confounded all of you. I'm like, if you put high pressure water that cuts the skin, what don't you understand about that? Everybody was like, what, water? Is making me bleed? Yeah, have you ever turned on like a power washer? If you pointed that at your foot, it would cut your toe off. That's
what this was. Yes, I don't remember all of the back and forth on that, but I do agree that high pressure water can slice your skin right open. Absolutely. I think what I was most confused about is this is not a trap. That's the thing. It is by the book a hazard, right? Which is what traps are. But like in this case, it's usually trap implies that someone has set this to protect something or harm intruders. And that's just not the case here, right?
Like, well, this is an accident waiting to happen. You don't have that information. You know
Get
that
out of here. Just give us the information.
You know that I'm bringing it up here, so I don't speak.
It's
out
just
of turn.
An accident that was waiting to happen. It was something that was let go too long.
It's being used incorrectly, and it's being overtaxed. I think I used the word overtaxed a couple times. I'm just trying to see here how it was done. Yeah, I mean, it's not a traditional trap, but you don't know. You don't know what's going on, man.
You're right. I really don't know what's going on.
You know, the gnomes were fucking with it, and they didn't realize that they were creating a problem that you guys happened to set off, or maybe it was something intentional. But if intentional, then what are you trying to be kept away from? And that's unclear.
Right. What are we trying to be kept away from, or are they trying to keep other people away? Because it is, it does get very tricky. I'm going to just jump forward here because I want to get into the meat of this, which is running into these two fae, these like, I can't remember the first one's name, but the other one
Chibi.
Was Chibi, and Bofa-D's nuts. Bofa-D's nuts. We go up against, and it is very confusing because this is now like the third room since we've gone in here that have no oak stewards, have no gnomes, have just fae. And they're all attacking us. Like, I don't understand what's happening. I thought the Oak Stewards came here and forcibly took this place over. So, like, why are these creatures still here? Who is their enemy? Is everyone their enemy? Are they just, like, wild, chaotic, angry beings that hate everyone? Or are they allied with what's-his-face? You know, I just can't wrap my head around what's going on here. Because I don't know if you're just being slick, lying as this fairy to say, because very early on in the conversation, you say something along the lines of like, oh, what's his name? Boal? But not Boal.
Beaufort or Bolon?
Bolon. Bolon is the one who's taken over this place. He is very bad. He's very horrible. Evil. He's horrible. And so I think, oh, well, we might have an ally here, right? Enemy of my enemy. And then they're like, I'll see you in hell. And I mean, and I said it in the show. I was like, can't anybody be nice? Like, why does every fae we come across have to be so evil?
Yeah, I mean, you've learned from, I can't remember if it was, I can't remember any of the characters' names at this point. The wood elf, Fionestra or Lemma, you know, that Bolon wasn't really, he didn't make a lot of friends when he was a kid. So he would go into the forest and he would make friends with the creatures there, the fae creatures, you know what I mean? So you know that he's better at sort of making friends with fae creatures than he is with humans. And that's kind of helped him, not helped him, but like that's kind of pushed him to where he is today. Like he didn't play well with others, but he does play well with these chaotic creatures. So maybe they're in line with him, or maybe that he's just such a poor leader of this place. The Fae are like, oh, the gnomes are gone. Let's go take over. You're not quite sure yet, but you do know that they like were, one of them was invisible and hiding and waiting. And so it seems like an intentional attack. And it ended up being a real fun, kind of crazy, it felt like a good fae fight. Like the fae's are just doing lots of nasty little annoying shit.
Yeah.
Not a ton of damage, but
color
enough.
Spray, yeah. And that weird song that made Brother Ramius dance.
I couldn't get that song out of my head. Great. It was so good the way you guys played it. Because I think in the past, I could imagine like a skid reaction being like, oh, yeah, all right, Nestor dances. You know, and it's just like, no, it's not that your character feels compelled. It's like there's something happening to them that is so intoxicating that they can't control it. And I've watched now, it's been a clip, a social media clip. I just saw it again on the tease for next week. We were just like, oh, what is happening to me? I laughed so
hard. Did it make the tease
hard.
For next week? That's
yeah,
great.
It did make the tease.
I mean, and that, so that moment there, I remember Brother Ramius he's blinded by color spray, which we'll talk about more in We Are Stupid. He's blinded in color spray, and he can't see anyone, and he's slowed. He only has stunned, one. So he only has two actions. And so I elect to cast Bless. And this ends up being huge. That one point, and it just goes to show you what a lot of people have been telling us, including Professor Eric, just always reminding all of us, the importance of buffs and debuffs in 2E. It feels a lot weightier in this game than it did in 1E. And I think that it just because of that crit to regular hit ratio, success to critical success or critical failure ratio, those plus ones and plus twos are huge. So this bless that Lucky gets takes her hit on the attack of opportunity from a hit to a crit by exactly that one point, interrupts his spell, which was, I don't remember, what's the one where you can get blind? Glitter dust.
Yeah,
it was glitter dust, interrupted glitter dust. I mean, just everybody around the table is cheering. Those moments, Those are the best.
Can't beat them.
Around the table and you can't believe how something just came together and all the players are screaming with joy. I mean, it's like watching a, well, I say this all the time, but it's like sports. I don't get why these nerds hate sports so much. It's like, what you're doing is playing sports. That's what you're doing when you play, sit around and play a game of Pathfinder.
It's a competition without being a competition. But
right.
Yeah, you're building, you're raising the stakes. And then when you finally get that clutched, I mean, the emotion is huge. It was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I love when that happens.
Absolutely. It's just that true feel of the unscripted, you know, event that you can't plan, you couldn't write, that when we walked in there, that we would fail so badly on color spray. And I think you even said it in the episode. You're like, this is the best color spray I've ever shot off in my Pathfinder
really
career.
Is,
like,
yeah.
Somebody critically failed, somebody else, and you only had two targets. One critically failed, the other one failed. So people are blinded, people are stunned. I mean, it was a phenomenal use of the spell.
Well, that's
overcome that was thrilling.
That's one of the things I love about 2E, and we've probably spoken about this before, is that the spells, it's not just save or suck. Like, even a success, you get a little annoying little fucking thing. Because a couple of you succeeded on it, and still were like, I can't remember if you were stunned one or slowed one, you know. I like that there's still, you have to critically succeed usually to have no effect, but a success still has, you take some damage, you have a little penalty. That's great.
I like that. I agree. I really like that as well. All right, let's talk a little We Are Stupid. Let's look back over the episode, some of the things we just discussed, and kind of go into detail on maybe things we could gotten wrong, or just to clarify the way the rules work as we look back at the episode, including some remaster updates. So this was really tricky where, are you flat-footed or off-guard? Per the remaster parlance, are you off guard when you're blinded automatically? And the way that Professor Eric essentially breaks it down is that when you are blinded, you can't detect anything using vision. That's right out of the books. You can't
that precise sense of vision. So unless you have another precise sense, you're flat footed. We fucked that up.
Yes, exactly. So if you then go to undetected and the description of undetected, when you're undetected by a creature, that creature is flat footed to you.
Yeah.
Now changing that terminology to off guard.
I wish they put that in the text of blinded. You know, it's like a rule that's nested within another rule. And that's kind of an issue with 2E. Maybe they fix this in the remaster, is that like usually it's very explicit. Just saying blinded that you're flat, I guess, because you're not, because you could have other precise senses, but like it's like this rule is
right.
Like
you can't,
it's like a Russian doll of a rule, you have to like get to the,
yeah, that's true, but in some cases I think that there's a good point to it. I really do. Like, I think that making it a little vaguer like that, or that you have to find, you know, the connection somewhere else, is by design, because I think that, yeah, yes, there are many creatures that could be blinded and would not be flat-footed to,
yeah, for
you.
Sure.
So you can't just put that as part of the text. I mean, maybe you could if you
just put it in there, like, remember, if you don't have the precise sense,
yeah, if you don't have another precise
vision,
sense,
you know,
so generally
know
when you're blinded, creatures become undetected to you. What's tricky is when do they cross over into hidden? And, you know, I think this is an interesting point that Professor Eric brings up, because he mentions that when you do anything, a blinded makes everything undetected. When detected by an undetected thing, you're off guard. So, yes, you would be flat footed, you know, typically, if it's kind of an A equals B equals C kind of thing. But when we talk about Lucky's attack of opportunity, which is a very pivotal part of the episode, we say, can she even take the AOO because she's blind? Now, we said that the creature is not undetected to her because she knows it's right there. She just saw it right before she went blind, etc. And on its face, there's no rule on undetected that you can't be aware of it. So I think that it does make sense. But especially when it's casting the spell, this is what he says. The opponent is making a noise. Any noise generally moves it from undetected to hidden. This is something he finds nested in the sneak action. Quote, if you speak or make a deliberate loud noise, you become hidden instead of undetected. So as soon as that thing speaks, and it has to cast the spell, it's hidden instead of undetected to a blind creature. I think that he thinks that we did totally by the book, allowing the AOO. It should have had the, and this is what I like about it. Instead of putting language in blinded that says you can't take AOOs, you let them take AOOs against a hidden opponent, but you just have a DC 11 flat check. You know what I mean? Like, let people roll dice and try. It's just harder. That's all. She hit the attack and crit the attack and hit the flat check. So let it happen. I thought it was a great ruling, and I thought it made for a really, really fun episode.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what that flat check's for.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find the precise sense, undetected, hidden stuff. It's still, I've read it a million times, and then once we get into it, I'm always like, but I don't want to slow down the game while we're recording. You know, I want to get it as right as possible, but it's not only keeping the pace up of the episode, but I find that if we like stop the recording, let's make sure we get this 100% right and then take 10 minutes. We lose a lot of the momentum of how we're playing, and that sort of translates to how the game feels as a viewer. So that's the beauty of cannon fodder, but unfortunately, because we're so far ahead, sometimes we miss this. But I think it should be convoluted. Convoluted isn't the right word. I think it should be a little complicated, a little bit complex. But this is like the one sticking point that goes back to the first time I read it, being like, let me read this again. Precise, imprecise, hidden, undetected. It just, for some reason, it won't imprint on my brain no matter how many times I go back to it.
I like to try to get a shorthand. It doesn't bother me at all. I actually have kind of an easy time with it. I don't think that I get it right 100% of the time, but like it's not as complicated as it sounds. However, I think that in trying to find a shorthand for it, I think that it's pretty safe to say, unless you really believe that the PC has absolutely no idea where a character is for whatever reason, that's the only time they're undetected. Usually, if they can't see them, but they're in a fight, they're hidden. That is usually the case. Undetected, you would have to be hiding, stealthing, you know, successfully stealthing. Somebody would have to be blind or have no idea they're even in the room, such as Bofadi's nuts during the dialogue and at the start of that fight. That creature is as undetected as you get. We had no idea that creature was in the room. Undetected.
You know, it's funny. It's like, I know it. Okay. Sometimes I feel more confident than others. You know it pretty well. You make mistakes too. If I offered any of the other players $100 and gave them a 4-question quiz on it, they would get all 4 questions wrong. They don't know it at all. And so we have no help. I'm gonna say this is your Christmas break homework is really study this.
Yeah. It the reason to study it is that it does come up a lot.
Yeah.
Because there are conditions that dazzle you. They make people concealed. There's dim light. There's low light. There's whatever that creates these concealment versus hidden versus, you know, now this creature is in darkness, but it's making noise. It's now hidden as opposed to undetected. Like it does get tricky, but trying to use those capital U undetected, capital H hidden words appropriately and nailing them down is important. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think it's better to lean most of the time in a dicey situation on hidden rather than undetected, because at least let you roll the die. I mean, that's a 50% mischance. That's pretty brutal. You have to, not only do you have to hit the attack, you also have to, you know, do flip a coin after that. So I feel like generally, if I were to be running a game, I'd be like, when in doubt, just say it's hidden. Always just roll a flat check rather than getting into an argument about whether you can even try or not. Just let them try. You know, that's kind of the way I think about it.
I think as a player, sometimes you're like, well, I'm not a rogue, so I don't have to worry about sneaking too much. I'm not a wizard who's going to be casting invisibility on myself. I'm not going to spend too much time digging into this. But then you forget that, like, even if you're a fighter or a druid or whatever, somebody else might be casting those spells on you, or like it may be casting invisibility on you, or maybe you're stuck in situations where you do have to stealth even though you're not a rogue. And so I think it's easy to gloss over those rules, but that's something we could all spend a little more time with, because it does come up over and over and over again. And every time I'm prepping for these scenarios, I start over from the beginning reading it. And then we get into it, I'm like, damn it, I'm not 100% sure, because I study it every single time. Yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of time with the rule book, and it's still, in the throes of the game, especially in a live show where there's no safety net, like, oh, so long, let's stop for a second. Like, you just got to kind of roll with it. But it keeps things going, and I think we generally do a pretty good job with it.
Yeah, I think so too. And at the end of the day, you don't have to be 100%. You just don't have to be. You know, you just have to, we'll get as close as we can, but keeping it moving is what's most important. And that's not just because it's a show. Like, you do the same thing at your table. If everybody is looking forward to stopping and reading up on a rule, great. That sounds like that's a fun game if that's your game. But like, generally, most tables, like, just make a ruling and keep it moving. And usually, it's better to let people roll dice. So that's why I say, err on the side of hidden. Let people roll flat checks and just keep it moving.
Yeah, before flat checks, we'd be like, just roll a d20. And, we would just make that up because you kill the momentum. Even if you're not recording, you just kill the momentum of a combat. You're building this crescendo up. You know, if we had spent too much time on it, her crit means so much less now. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. It's different when it's like,
explosions of joy.
Yeah, it's just like a pacing thing that... It works. It works for both a show and a home game.
So as we released Fodder last week, or as we recorded Fodder last week, I didn't have the new Player Core book, the new remaster rule book. I have it now. Started digging in. It's very interesting. A game with no ability scores, with no alignment. It's a very, it's different, you know, but starting to wrap my head around basic concepts. But like I said, I barely dipped my toe in, just starting to look at it. But Professor Eric, when it comes up, is going to just remind us of little things little choices that they've made. And here's two quick examples. One, color spray. It's had to get remastered, man. It's now Dizzying Colors. Purely a name.
So
change.
Fucking dumb. I hate it so much.
I know, but dude. It's the fault of the American legal system.
I don't know if it is, but whatever. Okay. Dizzying. Rainbow juice.
Rainbow juice. We could remaster our own.
I think we'll call it rainbow juice.
We're going to call it rainbow juice.
I mean, I get it. I know you have to do it. It's just like, so annoying.
Also, maybe it's just it's a bad name. Dizzying Colors.
Dizzying Colors. They let the new guy write that name. I'm sorry. Somebody could be listening and they wrote the name.
I know.
It's not a great name.
Well, look, it's hard. It's not easy to rename these iconic things. It's not easy. This is interesting, though. This is very fucking interesting considering this episode. Bless has been updated and, wait for it, LaValle.
Oh.
Buffed. Dude, huge buff to Bless. When you cast Bless in 2E, I was like, this spell is terrible. It starts as a 5-foot emanation and then increases by 5 feet every round that you spend an action sustaining it, right? So it's like... It was so hard for me to wrap around how this would actually be worth doing in combat. In this situation, it ended up working out because, whatever, long story. But the new remastered version of Bless, it starts at 15 feet of burst instead of 5. It triples the area. Then it automatically stays there for a minute. You don't have to sustain it. But you could choose to spend an action to sustain it and extend it by 10 feet. For every time you do that.
Huh. So, does it stay centered on you or does it stay centered on where you cast it?
It's centered on you. Okay. It boils out from you.
From your holy
soul. So in one round, 15 feet, that makes it so much more of a viable first level spell. A +1 to all your allies within 15 feet. Then if you spend an action, you're already at 25 feet. One more action, you're at 35 feet. And that's just... And by the way, I think those actions have to be like... In consecutive rounds.
Sure.
Like, you can't just spend 3 actions the next round increasing at 30 feet. I don't think. I'll dig into the rules on that. But that was a huge buff. And I love it. So thank you, Professor Eric, for pointing that out. I'm going to go look that up in the player core and just double check that I'm getting it right. But yeah, I thought something was wrong with Bless. So I'm really glad that
we'll
they addressed it.
We'll be using the poor man's Bless until further notice.
No! Don't make me do it. Come on, Brother Rabius is struggling as it is.
We'll be using color spray and old-fashioned crappy Bless.
Old-fashioned crappy Bless. Is that, that's going to be our rename of it? It's just crappy Bless.
Crappy Bless. I'll be casting crappy Bless.
At first level, I have prepared crappy blessed. All right, let's get into a quick listener mail before we get out of here. I'd like to get a take a question from the Nate.
Okay.
On this Thanksgiving holiday.
So just let me know when it's over.
What did you say?
I can't hear the song, so let me know.
Oh, right. You're way off. You're way off. It is over. What it was blasting in my ears, and so I didn't quite hear you. What I thought you said was, I don't care what this question is, just let me know when it's over. And I was like, dude, ease off.
That as well. No, I don't know.
Ease
this is
off
where-
on Eric. Not Professor Eric, another Eric.
Let's fire some people up. What do you got?
I don't know where you're from. I don't know where you're from, Eric. Eric, thank you for writing in. Guys, in case you don't know, you can always write in contact@glasscannonnetwork.com. Subject line, listener mail. And you can write in with a question. We'll answer it here on air.
And you can type instead of writing and sending a screenshot of a hand letter.
Yep. You could type it in. You could even do that and send it via digital mail. You can also, if you're a member of our Discord, you can also just go to the Cannon Fodder. I think it's on the Cannon Fodder channel on Discord. And there's a pinned listener mail thing right there where you can go to a form and submit your question that way. So lots of ways to get us questions.
Dude, I spent some time on the Discord last week cleaning up, giving it a little winter cleaning. Our Discord is pretty great.
Yeah, it's a great space.
I've been joining other Discords, non-gaming related, and just kind of seeing what they do for their, kind of bolster conversation in the community and whatnot. And so I spruce it up a little bit, and it's getting there. It's getting there. It's a fun place to hang.
People love Discord. People love Discord. All right. Eric writes in, hey, Troy and Joe. Eagle-eyed viewers can catch Joe O'Brien at the Faster Purple Worm Kill Kill table in the trailer, which, by the way, is news to me.
Wow. I've watched it twice and I didn't see any of us.
I didn't see any of us. I didn't see anybody I even know. So
could be another bearded dude.
I'm pretty sure you just saw another bearded Irishman. to be honest, I only watched it once. I know you talked about this when you filmed it and you were keeping it hush hush, but now that it is about to air, can we hear more about that experience? Thank you for the question. That's a great question. Now that it's out there, I think we can talk a little bit more about it. We obviously mentioned it pre-show just about the show coming out and stuff like that. But let's talk about the experience for a second, because this was really fascinating to see tabletop actual play in this nature, getting this kind of love and attention, from our introduction into this business has always been on our own by ourselves in apartments and then, into studios that we rented in the city and stuff like that. This was the first time for me, I don't know for you, I think it's for you as well, that we saw this as part of a, Los Angeles, Hollywood production, television production. And it was really, really neat and kind of fascinating to be a part of. You did two shows and over two different days, right? Or did you do them in the same day?
I think I did them on the same day. Yeah, I think I filmed one in the morning and then came back and ran. Yeah, I did. That was the same day. I filmed one in the morning and then came back and did one that night. It was crazy because I took like a red eye, got into my hotel at like 3 in the morning, but it was really 6 in the morning for me. Slept for a couple hours, showed up on set. They brought me in there to do this one show where I was a player. And it was just like me and four women, a female GM and then three other women. And a couple of them had never played D&D. And so I was like Kate McCucci had never really played. And so like during little breaks, I'd be like, you're doing great. Don't worry about the rules. Nobody knows the rules.
Nobody knows the rules.
It was a really fun experience. And seeing that, we had seen it before when you and I visited Geek and Sundry a couple of years back during one of our LA trips. Remember we had seen a little bit of kind of how it works, but that was like Geek and Sundry was on life support at that point.
We saw Jason Bowman.
Yeah, we saw Bowman do
Quest for the Everflame or
John or something. Yeah.
I'm thinking of Quest for the Frozen Flame.
But that was a much smaller scale, a couple cameras and very tight space. This was like a full on little bit of a studio audience.
Well, it had a live studio audience, which was really cool. And
I mean, I've got to be on TV sets before. I did a couple things that never, I got cut out of and everything, but it had been a while since I had done something like that. And, it was kind of cool because we were also at that point getting ready to start production on Gatewalkers. So it was fun to see, you know, how far we had come along and like kind of where we could be at some point. And
it was really fun. I mean, to me, it was the first time I was ever that I can remember ever like on TV. Like I had went to David Letterman, you know, I have gone to Jimmy Kimmel. Who's the guy in Jimmy Fallon. Like I have been in the studio audience for TV shows and you kind of see like the vibe, but I hadn't been on one before. And it was really neat to like, even from being in the green room, and we were with such great people because, you know, we played with Jared and Mary Lou and Alicia Marie. Paula Deming was there because she had done a show, I think, earlier that day. And so she was just hanging out. And to all just be hanging out in the green room was really fun. And then it's like hair and makeup. You go to the hair and makeup person and they're doing me all up and they're super friendly and fun. And then you run into like Nora Ibrahim, who's kind of acting as like a producer, production coordinator, you know, is like on the floor, like, and she's asked me, how you doing? You feeling all right? You need anything? You know, it's just amazing. And then they put us backstage and they have this audience out there. And there's you got somebody right next to you, a producer with like a, you know, a mic, whatever, a headset mic, who's like talking to somebody quietly that you do. All right. And you're ready for Joe O'Brien. Okay. We're ready for you. And then you like walk out, you know, I mean, it was just really, really cool. And all for just playing a game of D&D, you know, I mean, it was just really, really neat to be part of that whole thing. And you're right. When I was sitting there, it was so funny. Like I remember being on the show, like it's live, we're taping, you're describing the scene and I'm looking at the lighting rigging. And I'm like, how many more lights do we need or less lights do we need to like light this many people's faces? You know, I'm looking at like how many cameras do they have and how far apart are the cameras? You know, it's so funny. It was running through my head the whole time. It was such a great opportunity for intelligence gathering for how you shoot a TV version of tabletop, you know?
Yeah, it was fun to see it all come to fruition because, you know, I become friendly with Lillard right at the beginning of COVID when Beetle and Grimm started working with Paizo. They set up an invite and to talk with each other. And then they said, hey, do you want to guest in one of the things? So I guess, and we just kind of hit it off. And so then very early on into us chatting, he was like, hey, can I call you? I was like, yes, Matthew Lillard, you can call me. We'll chat. And he was talking about this idea for a show called Faster Purple Worm Kill Kill. He's like, it's this thing we've done a few times. And
so this
like,
is 3 years ago.
This is 3 years ago. He's like, we were thinking about, we want to do something bigger with it. And he's like, I don't know if Glass Cannon Network would be right for it or not, but like, you know, I just want to kind of pick your brain. And then he came and saw, this was before he even saw us perform, when he came at Gen Con a couple of years back. And you know, we had one of the best shows ever, which was excellent timing. You know, that friendship has sort of blossomed. And so he reached out to me about this. He's like, I would love to have you guys be a part of it. And he's like, we're not really doing this for anyone, but I'd love to have like one episode that is like a Glass Cannon episode. He's like, you tell me who you think you want to work with and we'll see what we can do. And so I got to kind of handpick the cast, and that made all the difference in the world because so many of these groups were just kind of thrown together. Let's sprinkle a couple celebrities with a couple of nerd gamers in the space and see what happens. Like, I'd play with you guys 100 times, never with this particular group, but he made all the inside jokes, the pacing, the timing. We've worked together for so long. It made all the difference. And I've heard through the grapevine that the episode that I run that you're in was one of the executives' like favorite episodes. And it really, and I think it has so much to do with you and I working together for so long. We were like, this show has a very specific conceit, you know, and I won't get into it. Watch the show. You'll see. They all have a, how do we throw rocks at that conceit? How do we do something a little bit different? And I think you'll see it in this episode. It's great. I can't wait to watch it. I feel like it's going to happen. I'll be like, well, I missed it, you know?
Well, that could happen. That's why, like, be very diligent. If you want to check this out, you got to be diligent about, you know, I don't know if any of these are, hopefully they'll hit YouTube at some point down the line or whatever. But like right now, that's not the case. If you want to see it, you got to watch it live. It's a live event and it is nowhere else. So keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on our social media. we're going to blast out as well when we know it's coming. But it'll probably be up against us. It'll probably be a Thursday night. But it also airs at 9 p.m. Pacific. So if you're on the West Coast, you could totally watch it, you know, after our show is over. But after our Thursday night show is over. But yeah,
it's wild. It's fucking improvised. But like, it was so cool because I had a meeting with the production team before I went out there to kind of pitch my story. I had to like start by pitching my monster, and the first monster I wanted to do wouldn't work because they didn't really have the rights for it. And I was like, okay. And then 5 minutes after the call, I was like, I've got it. And I sent them I started looking through my D&D compendiums and I was like, I've got it. How about this monster? They're like, let's go. So then I wrote the one sheet of like, here's the story and here's what I'm thinking. And they were like, great. But day of, I'm sitting back there with the production team. They're like, all right, let's go through the beats again. Okay. What about this? What about that? And then I'm like walking to set to like get ready to record. And one of the Beetle and Grimm's guys pulled me over. He's like, you know, instead of this thing, why don't we just do this? And it like completely changed something that I was going to do. I was like, okay. And we're just like on the spot. I'm like, well, if I do that, then I have to do this, that bum. And he's like, great. We high-fived. I went backstage. And the show in that moment had like a major change seconds before we went to the taping. Yeah. So it's just
to tell us after, you know, most people get to see it, maybe a couple of months from now, if it's on VOD or whatever and people can see it. Tell us, you know, what that change was, because I'd love to know.
Just a really cool experience. And, you know, this is what I want us to be doing is more of this. And, you know, I'm excited for people to see it.
Yep. And it certainly has that feel when we're at campaign two. I mean, it's just amazing. Like all through Giant Slayer, we never had producers in the room. You know, we never had other people shooting it or recording it for us so that we could just focus on having fun and playing. You were always thinking about the equipment, always thinking about the lines, always trying to find audio problems that you were hearing while someone else was taking their turn. And to have that all off our plate is amazing. And so that's why I'm having so much fun with Gatewalkers. And honestly, like, I can't wait to get back in the studio. We're back in there next week after the Thanksgiving break. We're back in there next week, and I cannot wait to play again. I've got some Brother Ramius ideas cooking I want to share with you. So.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we've recorded so much stuff that you're about to see that I think is some of the best stuff we've ever recorded. And I feel that same excitement, and that's what you have to have. If we're not excited, if we're not passionate about what we're doing, it shows and you can feel it. And I think people are really fired up to get back in the room as well. Like we're at a really good place.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, spending a little time with us on this Thanksgiving week.
Go eat some pie.
Yeah, go eat some pie. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. If you happen to be listening to us on the day, man, I'm having a great time. I'm with a bunch of family on Thanksgiving. 25 of us getting together, including some family that we have not had Thanksgiving with for over 20 years. So I'm very, very excited for that. So it's going to be a great, great holiday weekend, a great break from everything, and then back at it next week, and we'll have fodder next week as well. So we'll see you guys next week. Have a good holiday. Later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at jointhenaish.com.